Okay, so Bible Sunday, what is this? It is something that we celebrate in churches, thanks, Max, all around the world every year. It's not just that we think of the Bible on this day, but it's a special day to commemorate and celebrate and think of the gifts of God's words to us. This morning, we're going to specifically be looking at two things, and I'll see if you remember them. So we're looking at translation and meditation. Translation and meditation. And as it's Bible Sunday, we could pretty much talk about everything. Everything it contains, the narrative, the plot, loads of different things for this. So we're just going to be focusing on those two things this morning. This is going to be quite an interactive, chatty, kind of cafe-style thing. Please don't worry if kids are running around, you need to let off steam. Mine will probably be doing that at the back, so do not worry about it. Okay, first things we're going to think of is we're going to try and reflect ourselves on what do we maybe unconsciously think of when we think of the Bible. Do we maybe picture it like this? Transformative, bringing about growth. Even if we don't have a very good relationship with it right now, maybe we're not sure where we are with our faith, do we still look at it in hope as something that can transform the world and something better? Or do you look at the Bible and see it within a community of believers, that it's something to be read and celebrated with others? When I first started learning about the Bible and really knew nothing, it was very much a community thing for me. I needed to read it with other people to understand what was going on. Or do you see the Bible as a big rule book of do's and don'ts? Does it make you feel guilty rather than anything when you open it? Or maybe you feel guilty that you feel like you should know more of it than you do. Maybe you just see part of the Bible in that way. I know for me, again, I felt a bit like that about the Old Testament. Was I a bit worried that God seemed a bit angry and I wasn't quite sure about him? Luckily, that has changed and been a journey. Or do you see the Bible as old, crumbling, out of date? We've had it for years, it just gathers dust in the house. Oh, well, that was said to people thousands of years ago, so it doesn't mean much now. I'm going to ask you to do something quite vulnerable now, in that I'd really like you to talk to the people around you and share where you think you might be. And I want you to really remember a few things while you're doing this. If someone tells you that at the moment they feel like it's irrelevant, let them say that. Because actually we need to go through a growth with the Bible, with understanding where it is, and we need to be able to feel vulnerable with each other. Yes, I fully, wholeheartedly believe that it is not. It is the most relevant and amazing and incredible thing in our lives. But let's just talk and share with each other, understanding that we will all be in different places in our faith, different places with the Bible. So please talk with those around you. How do you currently feel about the Bible? Transformative, judgmental, irrelevant, community, or maybe something else? Okay, one more minute. Great, if we can come back together. Just want to say a big thank you to anyone that's watching online. I'm aware these times when we're having breakouts might look a bit different, so just to encourage you to maybe take a notebook, write down your own thoughts and your own feelings about this question. Is there anyone that would really like to share anything they thought? Fab. If not, we will move on. So, what is the Bible? This is one definition of the Bible that I found. And it's that it's a library of 66 books born out of the history of the ancient Jewish people. We had that thought earlier about what had the most stories, what building had the most stories. And we can think of the Bible as a library of different books containing all different things, different narratives, different plots, advice, proverbs, metaphors, idioms, pretty much everything and anything you can think of is in there. So, when we think of translations. How many translations of the Bible do we have? We have so many. We have ESV, NIV, The Message, NLT. I could go on and on and on. We have so many different ways that the Bible has been translated. There will be one word in Greek or in Aramaic or in Hebrew that the Bible's written in that could have many different meanings. So one Bible translation will take it one way, one another, and so on. For us, the Bible was first translated into English in 1382, but it wasn't actually published until 1535 in English, and that was abroad. I really don't think that was actually very long ago. So why is it so important that the Bible is translated into different languages and our own mother tongues? And why do we have so many different translations ourselves? We need to read the Bible. Oh, hand up. No, go for it. Yeah, that's great, because then most people didn't read. You'd have to read it out. Again, that would be done in community, in church. It would be done orally, people talking and learning from each other. And we need those translations so we can understand it for ourselves. So thinking about that, here's some stats that we've got from one of the amazing companies that work for Bible translations. So 10% of all languages have the full Bible. That's it. 50.8, so rounded up to 51% of all language, have at least some scripture in their own language. And if you're thinking earlier when we translated that idiom about it's raining cats and dogs, it would be so easy to misget that meaning if you weren't in the culture of that language. So, with our idioms, we've got ones in the Bible like a leopard cannot change its spots. If you never lived in a country that had leopards, you'd have no idea what that means. Fly in the ointment, apple of my eye. I've got my own one today of a frog in my throat, so sorry about that. And I think things can be really lost in generations as well. I'm going to come out, Andrew, I'm going to use this mic if that's okay. I want to come out. I need two volunteers. One, I'm guessing a younger person, and one a slightly older person. Can you make the face for me that you would probably make if you were saying something was sick? If you were going to say the word something was sick, I would probably be like, oh, that's sick. Can you make that face for me of what you think you might do? Okay, have I got a volunteer for someone who would like to say it and act it out for me? Okay. Now I'm going to pick on my brother. Yaks. Okay, say your outfit. How would you say it if you thought something was sick?
It's really cool.
That's sick, bro.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got one way of saying it. That's sick, that's really cool. Can I have someone else that says it if they find something really gross?
That's sick.
Okay, so even in what we say of things that are the same words, when we say them differently, they can mean two completely different things. My brother, who's 15, hope you don't mind me saying, says that something is sick, he probably means something is really cool. But for others of us, of a different generation, we'll think that they're saying something is really gross. So even within different generations, that translation is really, really hard. That's why the context and knowing the whole Bible is so important, because we might get something like it's raining cats and dogs and not know quite what that means. We're moving on now to meditation. And this is a really interesting word because it's so ingrained in Christian discipline, and we maybe don't think of it in our society as that anymore. When we have the Bible and we have the translation, so we're moving from our translation part now to our meditation part. When we have a translation of the Bible, this is what the Bible says that we should do with it. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, who meditates on his law, God's law, day and night. In Hebrew, it literally means to mutter or speak quietly. And then go talk about it with your friends, with your church, with your family. Make connections to others and make connections in your own life, discovering what it means. It means to hold it in your mind and be constantly pondering. Here, Paul and I are at St. Luke's and St. George's. And this morning at St. George's, someone said a great thing about actually digesting the Word of God. And we know now with our science that when we digest something, little bits go to different parts of our bodies, to our brains. And that is what meditation is about taking it in and it changing our lives. So we have such a gift in our hands, and we need to use it. Meditation is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying to oneself the various things that one knows about the works and ways and purposes and promises of God. It's an activity of holy thought, consciously performed in the presence of God, under the eye of God, by the help of God, as a means of communion with God. Tom, do you mind bringing my water up? Oh. Okay, so patterns of where humanity has gone wrong. The number 40. Noah was on the ark for 40 days and sinned when he got off. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai, and when he got back, people were worshipping a calf. But then we get the same pattern of faith. Thank you, Andrew. Being tested and failed. Jesus breaks this pattern in the wilderness and resists the devil. So, a time of discussion about meditation. What other patterns can you think of? So we've thought about the number 40. There's lots of trees in the Bible. There's times where people do something for God and then fail after. Let's have a think together, think about what patterns we can think of. Another question, what is your favorite Bible story? And what would you say to someone who thought the Bible is irrelevant? Okay, we're going to have some discussion time, and then I'm going to come and ask Tom to read our Isaiah 55 passage again, and we're going to do some active meditation.
Hey everybody, Beth's changed a little bit. That frog in her throat won't leave, so I'm just gonna finish this little bit for us. As you guys can see from the discussions that you've had, you can see that we do have a gift in our hands. The fact that every one of us in this room has a translation of the Bible that we can understand. So, where's your clicker? Oh. Cool, great. This is a really good quote. It says, "The scriptures are shallow enough for a babe to come and drink without fear of drowning, and deep enough for theologians to swim in without ever touching the bottom." So for you who have been going to church for decades and have studied the word, it's deep enough for you to be able to get something new out of it each time you read. But those of you that haven't looked at the Bible much and are inexperienced with that, there's still the safety and security of the gospel and the words of scripture. So to finish, we're going to do what's called Lectio Divina, which is studying the scripture and meditating on the scripture. So I'd like to invite you all to close your eyes, and I'm going to read out the Bible verse from Isaiah that was read earlier by Peter. So it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. I'm going to read that one more time. Holy Spirit, speak to us as we meditate on this word. Make a bit of it stand out to us or hit home in our hearts. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Throughout this week, I want to encourage you all to meditate on that verse in Isaiah chapter 55. Dive deeper into the word, ask God to speak to you, learn to swim that little bit deeper, and trust God all the more. Amen.